Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
Can't stop on stop.
Another Tuesday.
What day is it?
No Crab Feast for that ass. Kept my eyes open the whole time on that pitch touch. I wanted to see it.
I didn't see shit, though.
I saw it all, man. Good to touch your pitch, Jay Larson.
Good to touch yours, Sickle Cell. Great to be here with you. Great to be here with Feaster Nation. Jay Larson here, jaylarsoncomedy.com. Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July.
Yeah.
Saw you guys liking last week's episode. It was great to see you guys being active even during the holiday. I was not.
If you missed the episode because of the holiday, you got to go back and listen to Ida's podcast.
Go back and peep that, yeah.
Her life story is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It really is. It's a great episode. We got another great episode this week. And, dude, our 4th of July was amazing, by the way. We rented a house. We were up in Northern California. I didn't post once on social media. Wasn't even on it. Didn't even watch TV for 9 days. We had a flagpole and a flag. Every day we'd raise the flag and take it down. It was the greatest. You going to raise the flag, Daddy? We'd raise the flag. It was the best. Anyway, I hope you guys had a great time with your family and your loved ones. I got some stuff coming up. Next Friday, the 21st, I'll be in Boston at Patriots Place out in Foxborough doing a show for Showtime with Rob Gronkowski. If anyone's out there and interested to come to that, I should have a link. They should be sending me a link, so I'll post it as soon as I have it. And then Portland, Oregon, I will be there at Helium the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of August. Why don't we all plan on coming out on the 3rd? Or the 4th, you know what I mean? The 5th, the Saturday, whatever. But go get your tickets. I tried to get a code. I couldn't get one. So just say you're with the Crab Feast and they're going to give better seating. That's all I can really offer. I wish I could offer more. Dublin, I'm not going to Dublin anymore. I can't go do that trip. Any of you were going out there. So just letting you know. And then October 6th and 7th, La Jolla Comedy Store. I'll be out there. It's way down the road. Ryan Sickler, Sickle Cell, always great to be here with you.
Great to be here.
Tell everybody,
with you.
What's up, Black?
Jay Larson on Pinterest. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. In town shows, yeah, I'll promote them. But I want to stay focused on September 29th and 30th. 4 shows at the La Jolla Comedy Store, recording my album. And I will get a code for free tickets, I've been told. So stay tuned for that.
You going to do any stories on that?
I'm going to do a lot of stories.
You know it, player!
A lot of shit you probably heard before, too. So come on out and support the cause. TheCrabFeast.com for any and all Crab Feast-related information. There are a lot of ways to help the podcast. Some free ones that apparently we're not allowed to mention anymore. Also, the merch still on the site. Go get your shirts. Get whatever you want over there. Premium eps are there as well. And make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
If there's any merch things that you guys want to see, or just hit us up. Email us. You know our email, crabfeastpodcast@gmail.com. And if things that you want us to bring back, mugs, koozies, stuff like that, if you guys send us suggestions, we're going to make them happen. So let us know.
We got some great sponsors this week. ZipRecruiter is back. Are you guys hiring? Are you? Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Look, the challenge of finding great talent and the importance of finding great talent for a successful business are paramount. We put an ad out for an intern. We've got tons of stuff coming back to us. And look, when I worked at UPS, shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub Primary 1, Joey Avenue. We used to have a motto called "Do it right the first time," and finding that right person and having them do it right the first time is what you need. And with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. That's one day. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
Take advantage of it.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. You hear that? You can do it for free. You can go find the people you need for free right now. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter.com/crab.
And back again, Blue Apron. Blue Apron, if you guys haven't heard from us before, is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. What does that mean? It means you go on their website, you pick out recipes of food you want to eat, they send it to your house. They work and make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. I'm going to go over a couple of things that they have coming up. Here's the deal, too. They ship you the exact amount you need, so there's no waste. You can order for two or for four. Kate and I, we do two, and then we make separate for the kids. But when the kids get older, you could totally do four. Everything is sourced from good Lord.
Come on, Jay.
Seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. They're doing a great job over there. For us, we like to cook together as a family. When Kate and I are working in the kitchen with the kids, it's better for us.
It's better for you, too. It's healthier. You know everything going into your food.
And they're not skimping on stuff. Like, right. Coming up, check out this. Chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. Mm. Creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles and sweet potato wedges. First of all, the other thing that I've been learning is different ways to like cook and prep food that I didn't know. Like quick pickling stuff. Like we quick pickle onions to put on like sandwiches or different meals that we get. And we're introduced to new, like sometimes it's like an Asian dish, Moroccan dish, Ethiopian. It's all different styles and food. It's affordable for less than $10 per person per meal. Seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Variety, like I just said, it's all different types of cuisine and you get to pick it. Flexible. You just go on there and be like, I want this, I want that. Boom. Easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, and pre-portioned ingredients can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and then you know how to cook the meal future going down the road. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/crabfeast. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so do not wait. That's blueapron.com/crabfeast. And remember, three meals free and free shipping. Why would you not try it at least once?
And great free food. And talking about great, Pro Flowers is back again. I spontaneously surprised my cousin. I sent her some flowers.
What was that?
And she
the flowers from Ryan, man.
She was completely unexpected.
I was unexpected. I didn't even know, man.
It was completely unexpected, and I felt good about it. She went nuts for it. She was so stoked. I'm going to see her when I go home, introduce her to Stella and all that good stuff. And Pro Flower surprised me, sent me some farm stand flowers, a bouquet that was sent and looked beautiful. It was a summer bouquet. It had three sunflowers in it. It was packed full of flowers. And, man, they drank a lot of water, I'll tell you that. I did what I was supposed to do, maintained them, cut them fresh under the water on an angle, put some food in them. And let me tell you, they lasted 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Man, I'll tell you, that's unexpected.
That was definitely unexpected. Predictability is definitely boring.
You have a baby now, man. I'm unexpected.
Listen, you can say what you want to say. Predictability is boring. Surprises are exciting. Pro Flowers makes it easy for you to surprise someone right now and is making it even easier with a special offer for our listeners. Send Pro Flowers' farm stand flowers and get 20% off of this collection or any of their other unique exclusive bouquets of $29 or more. ProFlowers.com makes choosing the perfect surprise bouquet simple and quick. the flowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. And I'm telling you, we always tell you, they always last longer.
You just
than
said
that.
3 weeks, man.
I did. They lasted 3 weeks. You get to pick the exact date your unexpected surprise will arrive. Pro Flowers gives you more bloom for your buck. Big, beautiful flowers with more stems for your money. To get 20% off your farm stand flowers or any other bouquet of $29 or more, go to proflowers.com and use our code CRAB, C-R-A-B, at checkout. That's proflowers.com and code CRAB. Don't wait to make someone's day. Go ahead and be unpredictable.
Well, I'll tell you right now, talking about unpredictable, if you've ever watched this guy's show, you would know. This show is one of the funniest on TV and the most unpredictable. We're stoked to have one of the nicest guests we've ever had on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Sal Volcano. Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Now you can clap for yourself.
Yes. I love that song you guys have, by the way. Yeah, the intro song? Who is that?
Fan generated.
That's our... That was unsolicited sent to us.
I get it. You get into it right away. That song's undeniable.
It's undeniable. It's undeniable.
I'm serious.
He's great.
You know what I wanted to say is when we were doing that rabbit hole show with Rory, you came on the show.
Yes.
And I never, ever, ever, I've only once smoked weed before going on stage. And that night, someone was there smoking weed. You remember a bunch of people smoking weed?
I remember I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone was. And I was like, you know what? Let's just see what happens. You know what I mean? Let's see what happens.
Down the rabbit hole.
Go down the rabbit hole. So I smoke a ton with Rory. We get on stage. We're doing our thing. I'm having a blast. And I'm sitting there. And every week, Rory always introduces the first guest. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, is it Volcano? Is it Volcano? Because you were going first because you had like five spots to get to. Yeah. And I'm sitting there in my head. I'm like, well, thank God it's on Rory, you know? Because I just didn't want... I hate messing up an intro.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're sitting there, and then Rory goes... Rory looks over and goes, all right, Jay, why don't you introduce our first guest? And I just stood behind the mic, like, just like, I am not... I go, nah, man, go ahead. You got it. It's like, nah, why don't you take it this week? I always do it. Why don't you do it?
And I'm sitting there like... Oh, that's so funny. I didn't hear that.
I'm like, oh, fuck, I do not want to offend Sal right now, you know? But to me, it was like, you know, it was great to... And,
do you think Rory did it because he didn't know how to pronounce?
Or that's
do you think it was a natural just you taking it?
Well, I'll tell you. But I'm sitting there like, oh, fuck, he doesn't know. Rory doesn't know either. And I'm like, it's on me now. I'm like, just pick one. I'm like, and then I was like, you know what? Let him handle it. I'm like, nah, man, you got this. And he introduced you and it was great. We get off stage and he looks at me and he goes, you didn't have to pronounce his last name, did you? And I go, how'd you know? He goes, I don't know. He goes, I just had some feeling that you didn't. And I go, dude, I was panicking inside.
Feeling, that's why.
Yeah. And I go, no, I don't think so. No. Rory, you know, Rory's like such a great improviser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes you're in moments and you just like, you feel something. You're like,
oh, for sure.
Oh, that's what's going on right now. And he just went for it. So, anyway.
You know what? I mean, most of the time people get it wrong. Most.
Yeah.
So, it's no big deal. Last night, I thought
it was Volcano.
Yeah, that's the most popular misinterpretation. But, I mean, it really, who's to say what it is?
Right.
I say Volcano, but, I mean, but last night, the guy didn't even know at all. And I won't name names, but... he called me up.
Jeremiah Watkins.
No, Jeremiah's my buddy.
We love Jeremiah.
No, he didn't know at all. And this happens all the time, but he did that thing. It's like vintage where he was like, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sal.
Yeah, totally, dude.
Like he said Sal, he held it so the clap started.
Yeah.
And then over the claps, he went, like he just said nothing.
Totally.
It was so funny.
That
it was like, so obvious. But
it's like that move where you don't remember someone's name. So when you introduce your girl, you're like, hey, yeah, it's my wife, Kate. And then you like look away and you like look over here, hoping they're gonna be like, oh, hey, what's up, man?
That's my life. I mean, that happens to me 100%
of the God.
Time.
Thank God. Me too. I feel terrible every time.
I feel terrible every time.
If I have
time.
A partner, though, I'm like, go up and introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people don't say their name back. And I'm like, we didn't get it. We didn't.
Yeah, we don't even have, it's a known thing. Like, I forget everyone's. And I'm, the most mortifying thing ever, which has happened to me a few times in my life, and I've never recovered from it, is calling someone the wrong name. I'm not being dramatic, guys. I've never fucking recovered from it. But it's like, that is the most embarrassing.
I did it recently.
Like, right to their face.
Oh.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's not me. And I was like, And then when she left, everybody in the room was like, we all thought it was her, too. I'm like, I'm the one that took the fucking hit.
Oh, that's tight.
They all thought it was her, too.
It's too bad. I had a meeting yesterday with two women pitching a TV show, and we're in there, and we're talking for like 15 minutes, right? And I go, well, listen, it's great to meet you guys, blah, blah, blah. And I start going in, and the one woman goes, yeah, we've met before. No. And I go, we have? Where? And she goes, here. You came in and pitched last year. You don't remember? And I was like, I kind of do. And she was like super cool about it. She's like, well, I was kind of in and out of the meeting. I'm like, all right. I'm like, are we good though? She's like, yeah, we're good. I'm like, all right. And I just had to keep calling back and making a joke of it because otherwise.
Well, last year when I was here, you know.
Yeah. That is the reverse I have of that, where we meet fans and like so after live shows, we'll do meet and greets and stuff. And like fans will come to me and be like, the same thing. I'll be like, so nice. I mean, the general rule I'm going to say to someone is nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And I get it, you know, every few. It's like, well, we've met. Like, and with a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah, with an attitude.
I'm like, oh, all right. I was like, well, so good to see you again. And they're like, you don't remember or whatever. Or they'll say
there's
something.
There's 2,000 people here.
They'll say something. You don't remember that show here. You passed me in the hall. I'm like, guys.
Well, it means everything to them.
Yes,
you know, like,
no, I understand. But I'm like, please don't be offended by
clearly
that.
You don't. Right. Clearly you don't respect your fans.
Well, I'll say this for in your defense. I watched, we were in Vegas together. You guys were doing your show, and you came and did some shows at the Crapshoot Festival. Yeah. And walking through the casino, you got stopped nonstop.
He owed money.
Took people lined up, took pictures, and you did for every single person.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unless it's a really bad situation, like when my dad was
Sal! Remember me, Sal? You passed in the hallway. I was eating broccoli. Sal! You don't remember that?
Oh, I have a general rule.
Oh, you don't remember that? This motherfucker.
I have a general rule not to turn when people shout at my face, shout at me like I'm a dog. That they do that. They shout.
Of course they do.
Or they'll be like, no joke, like, two blocks away, not even a block, and they'd be like, "Yo,
yeah."
And then I used to stop and turn and be like, "Hey," and then if I stop and turn, they go, "Come here!" Like I'm gonna walk two blocks your back the other way. Yeah, come over here. You know, or it's just like
wait for the light to.
We got it. And I'm just like, so then I used to be like,
"Hurry up!"
Yeah. Then I used to just be like, "I'll turn away, but I won't break stride." And now I don't even look because if someone's shouting at me like a dog from two blocks away, that this they don't really get what's what I.
I mean, this sounds like Long Island or Staten Island, like around the neighborhood kind of stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like these guys, look at Volcano over here, not even fucking saying hey to anybody no more.
I had a guy last time I was in L.A., which was a couple months ago. I was walking with my friend, we were going to get lunch, and I got stopped. Look, it happens a lot. Sometimes it happens not at all. It just depends on the day. Yeah. And it's totally cool as long as, like, I'll get into this when people want to take pictures of me in the ER with my dad in a stretcher. But,
that happened?
Clear! Yeah.
Hey, Sal. Yeah. Sal, can I get beside him real quick?
Yeah. And the guy was mad.
Doc, can you stop that real quick and take this?
And the guy was literally legit upset with me that I was like, dude, this is my dad. This is the ER. Can I not take a photo with you and your family right now, whatever? And he was like, oh, come on, man. And I'm like, but it's my, I'm like, excuse me. Actually, we were in the middle of a round circle discussion with doctors. And he tapped me on the shoulder. And I turned around. He's like, yo, I love your show. We get a picture?
In the middle
and
of that.
I just like kind of looked at him. Like,
look, if you don't do this, you're not going to make it after 60.
This was Staten Island, but that course.
Honestly, I'll defend him.
This happens everywhere.
It just seems like...
I got into a car accident once. I was in my car. It was traffic, right? So it was red light. Car. I'm stopping, no traffic. I'm on the phone with my dad. All of a sudden, boom, I get hit from behind. Like, pretty hard. My neck, like, snaps. I'm like, Dad, shit. Because what happened was there was already an accident. So the cars were pulled over, and there was cop
and
cars.
Everyone's looky-looing.
There was cop cars and ambulances. So we were literally, I was stopped next to the cop cars and the ambulances. So they watched me get hit.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be more convenient, right? They saw the guy rear end me. The cop, they all saw it. So I was like, Dad, guy hit me in the back. I'll call you right back. So the ambulance driver's right here, the EMT. He goes, I put the brakes, I roll down, and he walks around the car. I lower my window. I'm actually holding my neck. He leans in. He goes, yo, can I get a picture with you? The first thing he said, I go, dude, I'm actually hurt.
You're so nice. I'm actually hurt.
I'm like, can I pull over and we can get it when I pull over? Like, you guys saw what happened, right? He's like, yeah. So
how about when I'm laying on a stretcher, you just kneel down, we get one together, man. I need some fucking money.
You're going to be around me for a minute.
I get out, right? I pull over. The cops are there. I get out. I'm holding my neck, right? He comes over. He's like, all right. I talk to the cops. He comes over with this thing because they want to take me to the hospital.
Yeah.
And you have to choose to waive it or not. So you have to fill out a sheet if you want to waive it. He comes over. He's like, here you go. He's like, I filled out most of it. and it has, my name, my Staten Island on it, New York. He doesn't have my exact address, but he filled out every piece of information that he that he knew. And I was like, okay. And then he goes, let me ask you a question.
Look, I know your neck's all fucked up, but turn to your left here. This is my good side. All right.
He goes, can you do me a favor, a personal favor? So I'm like, okay, what? And he goes, the lady in the ambulance from the accident before, she's a huge fan.
Oh, my God.
Which sounds suspect to me, right? I'm like, how does he even know that, right?
So where are you at this point?
I'm in
Are you on a stretcher or anything? Like right now?
No, I'm standing on the side of the road.
Just holding your neck.
Are you waiving your right to go to the hospital?
I am.
You are?
Freehold, New Jersey, Route 33. I had to get to my grandma's and my aunt's house.
Even with your neck like this?
It wasn't like fucked up. It was like I was worried, but it snapped.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm just getting the fuck out of there. It was just the traffic. There's no way I'm going to for some ER. It's for them to give me an ice pack. So he goes, can you do me a personal favor? He says personal favor. I'm like, of course. We go so way back. He goes, the lady in the ambulance is a diehard fan of yours. It would mean the world to her if you just went over and said hello.
She's about to die.
So I'm like, I guess, is this appropriate? Like, she's in the stretcher in the ambulance. He goes, yeah, believe me, please, it would be such a big favor to me, and I know she would love it. So I go, all right, when I'm done talking to the cops, I'll go over there. So I finish talking to the cops. I walk up to the ambulance. Ambulance is closed. The back doors are closed. So I'm like, all right, this doesn't feel right. So I open the two doors. I swing them open. She's in a stretcher. She's tied down. She can't look. She's looking straight up.
Oh, they have her like stabilized?
Yeah. So I go, excuse me. And she's like, she looks like that. And she looks at me and she goes, yeah. And I go, excuse me. Before she looks at me, I go, excuse me. And she goes, yeah, she's only looking straight up. And I go, I was asked to come over and say hello to you. My name is Sal. I'm on a show called Impractical Jokers. And she goes, and?
Are they pranking
she you? She goes, and? And I go, yeah. And then she looks up and she looks at me and she goes, yes. And I go, that's it.
That's all I got.
I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Good
luck to you.
She didn't know who I was at all, which I don't understand what the fuck the guy was talking about. She didn't even know who I was. She didn't blink, acknowledge it.
Meanwhile, he's rifling through your glove box and shit, yeah, like, looking for memorabilia.
I'll fill the rest of that pad. You don't think they were practical joking, pranking you because you're a practical joker?
I know when that's happening. Yeah. This was not that. The guy was like overtly, like he was over the top sincere. Like I don't know if he was a lunatic. I don't know why he would say that. But she did not know me at all.
I like the other guys. This is
it sounds like a good time to let people know where they can find you on social media and stuff like that. We've been talking
yeah,
for a
we
minute
usually
now.
Do that right away, yes. And I didn't want to stop you. But yeah, please, sure. Your social media, your show, whatever, anything you have.
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, it's just at Sal Volcano, my name. What else? The show's on Thursdays at 10.
Seventh season?
And all the time.
We signed for 7. It's on. I know, or just turned it on. I'm sorry. Yeah. Turn on the network. We have a cruise November 1st to the 5th for our fans out of New Orleans to Mexico.
How sick is that? Is that the first time you've done that, or you've done that before?
It's the second one now.
And how was the first one?
Out of control.
I worlds can't even colliding. Imagine.
20 of my comedian friends. We hired the bands, DJs. I brought like 30 of my family members.
Oh man.
It's like 2 a.m. We're on stage. It's a dance party. Karaoke's going. People are stage diving. I look to the left, and Stanhope's like grinding on my mom. You know, like it's hysterical. All my worlds colliding.
And how long is the cruise?
It's 4 nights, 5 days. Essentially,
man,
5 days.
That's great.
And how many shows do you guys do?
We do 3, and so everybody's on the cruise gets to come to a show. It's like ticketed out, and then there's like tons of other shows. Just like we have an Elvis band. The best one in the world that they won that. We have like a yacht rock band, you know, yacht rock,
of course.
My favorite.
The best.
80s. Yeah, so it's like a real party. Like
that
real
is
party.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about not being able to get away from your fans, you're on a goddamn cruise ship.
I know
that
200
is,
of those people.
That is, you just got to let it go at the door. You check in and it's about.
They paid to be there and you're just part of it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's crazy.
Man,
it's
I went fun. On this cruise. He was all right, man. Those guys were right. Yeah, that fucking neck brace wouldn't even look at me.
We got a big show in L.A. On September 24th. We're playing the Greek, so that's
God damn, that's huge.
So I'll plug that because I hope
be great weather
to
outside.
Get out there,
right?
To see that.
Yeah. Oh man,
I've never been. I saw pictures. It's pretty beautiful.
Yeah, man,
it's great,
dope. It's in the fucking mountain, like you know the
Griffith Park Mountains. There's a little nine-hole golf course over there that I'll play once in a while. And depending on the day, during sound check, you can hear sound check on the golf course. It's like my favorite course just for that reason.
That's
awesome. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's dope. What a cool spot.
Yeah, and that's it. Oh, and then one other one. Solo, I'm playing the House of Blues on July 20th in San Diego during Comic-Con. And that's really... That's all I got.
That'll be great.
That's all? Yeah. I mean, oh, man, that's a lot, man. Good for you, dude.
Oh, are you guys going to be at Clusterfest?
Yeah. Jay is. I'm not
Oh, I
there.
Thought I saw Crip. Okay, you're going to be
Yeah,
right.
I'll be up there. Be up there. Cool, we'll connect.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well, what do you guys...
Let's get
what's
into
up,
it.
Guys? What's up? How
well,
you feeling?
I've told you before, like, I'm such a huge fan of yours and the show. Like,
thank you, man.
I stumbled onto it, like, your first season, and I was like, oh, my God, this is fucking hilarious. And I remember I was back in Baltimore visiting relatives. It was late, and I was like, put True TV on real quick. Let's see if this show's on here. And it's on. My cousin and I sat there. We just fucking laughed and laughed.
Thanks,
and
man,
it looks like so much fun.
I have notes on the show,
please,
but we can
please.
Do that, you know.
But
please,
I get anxiety watching, like, oh, my God, he's going to fucking do that. Like, what – I asked you before, but what's something that you were just like, I'm not – definitely not doing that?
We have this thing where it's tough not to do much. Like, in the moment, we could say no, you know, the way the show is made, that you can say no. But if you say no, you're probably going to lose the episode, and you can't say no to a punishment, nor – 90% of the punishments, do you know what they are right until they happen?
Mm-hmm.
So we made a pact with each other that we can't back out of a punishment. So those days are actually very, very stressful and tense-filled because you don't know what's going to go on, and you know that you're not allowed to say no. So there's been things that I had to do because of that circumstance that I would have never done in my fucking life. Like jump out of a helicopter or dig through elephant shit or get a tattoo of Jaden Smith or be put in a swamp in the fucking bayou. I'm kind of a germ guy. I don't have a good immune system. And they
I don't have a good immune system. Listen, man, my immune system is like 20%.
They dressed me up as like this swamp monster, and I had to hide under the water, like up to my chin.
I'd be scared of alligators
there's
and
alligators.
Shit.
There's alligators. You know, there's alligators. It's the fucking bayou. There's alligators everywhere. The people who ran the fucking, it was like a fan boat area place. And they're like, yeah, they don't come through here. I'm like, all right, give me
they're
a fucking
Disneyland.
Like, I'm
world, for Christ's sake.
I'm going on the back of that. Like, that one might just not go come.
Right, exactly.
He goes, they can go yonder out there. I'm like, okay, so one's not going to fucking. Meanwhile, they got a fucking remote control alligator. I didn't know, and drove it toward me. At one point, I thought it was a real alligator.
God, I would have shit myself.
But I was worried about the parasites going in my pee hole, so I actually wore a condom when I was in there.
You're the only guy I'd ever know.
The toughest part was I had to get it up. I had to get it up and get it up.
Yeah, full boner the whole time.
I know guys that have had sex with prostitutes without condoms. You got one on in the fucking swamp.
I heard that they go in there and then all of a sudden they start eating you from the inside.
Oh,
and
my God.
You thin out, and which might not have been a bad thing for me. But.
You thin out.
You've been working out? Nah, man. Fucking parasite
up
the people.
I'm on that new parasite diet.
So were you always like that as a kid growing up? Were you always like a prankster? Like Jay loves to do that shit. Were you always someone that would fucked with people? Or
I would say yeah. I mean, we went to all boys Catholic high school. There's not much to do there. We fucked around. A lot of the stuff we do on the show is literally lifted from stuff we've did in the past.
So you've all go back that far together?
27.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we met as freshmen in high school, 1990.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I graduated same year.
Yeah,
no, wait. I'm a senior 91. I graduated 91.
Oh, we graduated 94. We
94.
Us,
yeah.
We're bonded for life.
So you guys have been doing that kind of shit a long time.
Pretty much. And we had so many like failed scripted things. And we're like, what could we do? Where we just like, is there something we could do? We just could like not script anything and just be us. Like just be us. And that was what was born of it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love
it. I mean, you have so many of these stories here growing up. I want to hear about this basement apartment. You don't talk about that one?
Yeah. I used to live in this little fucking studio basement apartment alone. I was bartending, so I would sleep till like 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know the deal. I bartended for a long time.
Yeah, which other people who don't bartend think that's unreasonable, but I get home 5 in the morning by the time I wind down. So I'm fucking passed out. It's pitch black, and I hear someone pounding at my door, like, but I mean like really pounding. And I jump up out of a dead sleep. It's pitch black. I'm like, hello? And I hear, Sal, it's Dan. Open the door. Hurry up. And Dan he lived upstairs from me. He was my landlord. New York City detective. Big guy. Big Irish guy. So I stumble the door. I crack it open. The sun comes in. I'm like, what's going on? And he's fucking, his face is beat red. He's sweating. He goes, I just got home. Someone, my door upstairs is off the hinges. Someone broke into the house. They might be still in there. Let's go.
Let's go.
He says, let's go. Right? I have no training at all. Yeah, I'm not a cop. I don't know. I've never been in a fight.
You just woke up, too.
I'm fucking 10 seconds. I'm fresh out of a REM cycle. I'm in Corona pajamas. I got the drool. I got everything. And
you got Corona night pants.
Corona night pants. And then he was so, like, what do you do in that situation? Like, I can't look at him and be like, yeah, no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just like, I was so overwhelmed. I didn't have my head, you know, my faculties. So I put on a robe.
I put on my robe
and I follow him and we go to the front. Door is off the hinges, cracked, hanging off the hinges, which is fucking nuts.
I mean, no one breaks into a home like that.
I know. I never saw anything like that.
Personal.
It's fucking popped off the top and like hanging off, like they just battered it in. And he pulls out a fucking gun and cocks it. I tell this story on stage. This is one of the only stories I tell on stage, but
yeah.
Out of this, but I'd never seen a gun in my life before. Now this guy pulls out a gun, cocks it, and he looks at me and he goes, I'm going to go in and I'm going to go around the house. I'll get the perimeter. He's like using terms like that. He's like, I'm going to secure.
I'll get the perimeter.
He goes, I'm going to secure the perimeter. He goes, you get my back. And this is what I said to him. I said this to him, and I, in the moment as it was coming out, I was like, why the fuck am I talking like this? I was like, I'm your guy.
Shut up.
I said, I'm your guy. And I'm like,
because I live downstairs.
I was literally holding my robe like this. I'm like, I was like, I'm the guy. I'm your guy. I got you.
Curlers in your hair.
And he goes in, and he's fucking like in the movies.
Yeah.
You know when they like the very technical approach of a cop when he's going down a hall, checking in and out of doorways?
Yes.
He's doing that. I'm like, oh my God. I'm behind him. I got nothing. I'm in a rope. I got no weapon. He didn't give me like a bat.
Look out! Yeah. Choke him with your Corona night band! Choke him with your Corona night band! He's making a break!
So, yeah, like I didn't know what to do. I was going to put my hand in my pocket like a fucking fake gun. You know what I mean? Like, I was trying to think of whatever I could do to contribute here. Like, and just like, you know, like, you ever see See No Evil, Hear No Evil with Gene Wilder?
Yeah,
in it?
And Richard Pryor.
Long time, but.
Yeah, oh, there's a scene where Gene Wilder comes out of, there's a girl like in the shower or something like that. And he comes into a room and she comes out of the shower and he puts his hand in his pocket to make believe he has a gun. And he points it out and he's like, all right. Everybody just calm down, move away. He's like, everything's going to be okay. Just step away. And he takes his hand out of his pocket and it's still there. He gets a hard on during it. So the same exact, you know, his fingers. It's such a funny scene. He pulls it out and it's still there. All right. Anyway. So we go up. So there's no one on the first floor. So second floor. So we're going up the steps. He's like going up. He's got the gun and he looks at me. He's like,
yeah.
He starts giving hand signals, right? He goes, up at the top of the steps, there's one door right at the top. He goes, like, and he's not talking
to me. He's hoping like hell somebody's up there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing you're hoping like hell somebody's not.
That he was ready to blow somebody away.
Yeah.
I can tell you, the look in his eyes, I had never seen it before or since.
He's retired at this point, or is he?
No, he was active at that point.
He was on the call.
Yeah,
yeah, it's his call. Like he ain't called for backup because he wants this shit.
He has a look, and you know, you don't come across people. Look, he's ready to shoot somebody. He's in his house. It's them or him.
Yeah.
You don't see that look in people's eyes too often. And it's really fucking scary because I'm like, what if the robber has a gun? Like, anything could go wrong right now. And I'm thinking, like, this legit, we always think, you always have that thought, like, sometimes, how will I die? When will I die? And I'm like, I may fucking die protecting this guy's fucking CDs.
You know, like, that's it.
What is worth this for me to be involved here? Like, if someone's in the house, step out, call somebody.
Yeah.
If,
I don't need backup. I got my tenant in a robe and night pants. We're good.
We're good.
What is my function here at this point? If they start fighting and the gun's going, like, what is my exact function? I don't know. I guess it's just good to have another body, but anyway, we don't know what to expect. So he starts going like this. And he's doing like these subtle gestures, like I was in fucking ROTC
basic
or something.
Training,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hand, and he's going like this, and I'm like, I'm looking at him, and I go, and I just shake yes, and he kicks the fucking door in. He kicks the door and goes in with his gun up. And
I'm scared to death.
I just I yell out, "Oh my God!" I just yelled out, "Oh my God!" And there was nobody in there. And then he turned around. He was like, he just looked at me like, "Man, you just fucking lost it for a second." But when he kicked the door in, like, he didn't tell me he was going to do that. He did a couple of gentle hand signals, and then he kicked it in. I was like, "Oh my God!" Because I didn't know what was about to happen. On stage, I say, I yelled, "Oh my God, pow pow!" I made the sound of a gun from the cartoons. But yeah, that was, oh, so that's what happened. So then all of a sudden, all of these cops flood the place because he's a detective.
Yeah.
He called them prior to getting me. So they came in. There was like 10 cars screeching up. They all run in. I mean, guns fucking drawn. They run up the steps and they're like, "What the?" And he's like, "All right." And they start talking, everything. Everything's real fucking intense. And they talked to him for a minute and then they turn to me and they start fucking grilling me because they're like, "So the cop's like, so how is it?" He goes, "Let me ask you this." And meanwhile, I'm his friend. I just risked my life.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm the number one suspect, apparently, because I was the only one home. So the cop turns to me and he's like, "Let me ask you a question. How is it that you were home and the door is off the hinges up here and you didn't hear anything?" And I was like, "Well, I was sleeping." And he goes, "Sleeping?" He's like, "It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon." And I'm like, "I'm a bartender. It might not have been the best life choice." And I'm like guilty telling him why I'm asleep at 4 in the afternoon. And they're all just looking at me. They're like, "You were sleeping?" I'm like, "Yeah, look, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I bartend, I sleep late." You know what I mean? But they like grilled me and made me feel bad about my life. And then I went back downstairs and that was it. But I thought I was going to die.
You know? I thought it would have been funny if like he was like, "You guys," he cleared the house and he's like, "All right, man." And then you walking out and then they show up. They're like, "Get the fuck out." They take you out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fucking. I mean, that was the only time I've ever seen like a someone be ready to use a loaded gun.
Yeah,
in front of my face. But that was. I don't know if you guys have any experience like with that kind of shit. But the guys never make fun of me about that, how I handled that. But like, how else do you handle it?
You handled it exactly. I mean, actually,
please tell me.
You shouldn't have gone. You should be like, "I'm gonna wait fucking here, man. I'm not doing that. I'm not trained."
I know.
I had a.
Well, I wouldn't want to stay in my house alone. If he was up there with a gun, maybe that guy was hiding out in your... I mean, was your place connected to his at all?
No, it wasn't connected. It was an illegal two-family. I could say that now. the year 2000, I think. So, 17 years. That was the first time I ever said that out loud. I was told not to say that.
By him?
No. I had like five. He was a good friend, actually. So that's
all right,
why.
This kid's cleared. He wasn't part of the burglary, but we do have tenants and whoever. The state's here to investigate the living situation.
Drag me out. But.
Dude, you have so many fucking stories here. I can't even.
Yeah, I don't know where you want to go.
Should I
be riffing these and not waiting for silence and you to prompt me to do another one?
You can do it however you want.
I'm following along.
It's
like, I don't know.
No, I want to hear. I mean, if you don't, we'll just start picking what we want to hear. But I want to hear about Bubba Ray Dudley.
Oh, you guys wrestling fans at all or no?
I was, but I don't know who Bubba Ray Dudley is.
Bubba Ray Dudley's part of the Dudley Boys. He was.
I don't know the Dudley
20
Boys.
Plus years. They were WWE. He started in ECW, which was that one where they started lighting each other on fire and shit. Yeah. This guy is huge. He's, 6 foot, I don't know what, five. He's probably 300 pounds. And they just retired, but they were in the WWE for like 25 years. They were tag team champs. They were like literally the baddest of badasses. And they started in ECW. ECW around 99, 2000 was this extreme wrestling that started. It was born out of maybe like the backyard wrestling. And these guys would like throw tacks down and slam each other into the tacks, throw each other through, light the tables on fire. That was their big thing, the Dudley Boys. They did the table. So they would put...
Get the lighter fluid Jim.
Lighter fluid, light it on fire. Throw those fucking people through the thing. They get lit on fire. I mean, they would hit each other with fucking bottles. Everything was a bloody mess. It was like this new wave of violence, and everybody was way into it. And I think that would bring a certain crowd to see them.
Oh yeah, you think so?
Yeah, people that would fucking brawl. Listen, I'm no expert, but so like this, they got this reputation.
Could you imagine the parking lot after those fucking events?
No, they were constantly brawls, full on brawls and arrests at every show.
Yeah,
and that was the reputation it had because people were like, they would come and they would antagonize them, and they didn't take any shit from anybody. Jesus. These guys had a show on Staten Island, right? This is before he blew up and they went to WWE. They had a show on Staten Island, and he gets in people's face. It's all part of the thing. But then some guy spit on him, and he spit back. A full-on stadium-wide brawl. Cops, everything. They all get arrested. So this is the reputation that they have.
Yeah.
That it's, these guys don't fuck around. Like, say what you want about wrestling, but he was in like a brawl every show, like literally lighting up people. I didn't know this. That's an important part of the story.
Yeah, that might be the most.
At the time, I liked wrestling as a kid, but at that time when I was like, whatever I was, 20 years old, I had fell out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. But I had a beach house with my friends down in Belmar, New Jersey. And the Jersey
Shore. You guys rented for the summer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all loved wrestling. So there was going to be a wrestling event in that beach town, and they were all going. So I'm like, I'll go with you guys. This is going to be good. I haven't seen wrestling in a long time, whatever. And this was during this ECW. Again,
see, that's where I fell out, too. Like, right before, like, Shawn Michaels and
yeah,
all
that. Yeah,
that's
exactly
people.
When I fell out.
That's when I fell out.
Yeah, I'm back into it now again, but that's a different story. But anyway, so I go with them. And it's like a 95-degree day, and the place, it's called Bar Anticipation. And inside, they have a big outdoor patio with like volleyball courts, and that's where the ring is set up. And everybody, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, waiting to get in. They didn't open
and
the door.
And how many does it hold?
The place, I want to say a few hundred.
Okay.
Okay? So they're all waiting in a line. We are all waiting in a line outside the venue. 95-degree weather. We're there half hour waiting for them to open the doors. A line of 100 people. The parking lot is at capacity to the, one of those things where they parked cars a row, and then right behind them, and right behind them, behind them. So no one's getting out. There's no wiggle room. You have to go this row out, then narrow. So there's no room in the parking lot. A couple hundred people lined up. He pulls up in a car, and across the other end of the parking lot, a little Honda Civic. He gets out of it.
Honda Civic.
He gets out. This guy is fucking huge, right? He gets out of the car.
This is 1990, is it?
This is 1999.
Oh, 99.
Is it 99? Yeah, 99. He gets out of the car, and there's a little smattering of like applause, wrestling fans, whatever, and then it falls silent. And for some reason, I was just like, oh, I'm going to be part of the wrestling. I was like, hey, Bubba Ray Dudley, you fat fuck. I said that. That's not even of my character at all.
Yeah.
I don't talk like that. I don't know why I said it. I didn't know nothing about it. I'm just antagonizing this man for no reason. I thought it would get a laugh. I thought he might be like, hey, fuck you, you sons of bitches.
Yeah.
So I say that, and I just kind of turn, and my friend Jeff goes, I see my friend's face go pale. He goes pale immediately, and he goes, and now I have my back to him, because I didn't want to like be like, it was me, you know.
Yeah.
I just said it. I figure I'm in a crowd. His face goes pale. He goes, Sal, he's coming over here.
I go,
yeah, okay, right, Jeff. I go, how would you even know who said it? He goes, Sal, he is coming over here, and he is charging us. And he goes, he's hopping over the cars. Yeah, so I turn. I don't want to.
Wait, he's running over
the
hoods?
He's running over the hoods. He's running over the hoods. The whole police is like,
so
yo,
extra intimidating. What is going on?
He's jumping over. So I turn slightly, because I don't want to give in that it was me. I turn slightly out of my periphery. I see him fucking slide over a hood like a fucking, like
like
Duke's
a Duke
hat.
Boy, yeah.
I'm like, oh, my fucking God. So I go, all right, cool, guys. I was with 14 of my friends. I go, guy, there's no way he's going to know who did it. There's no, so just stay calm. And at that moment, I turn around, and there was stanchions with metal chains. And he got up to this line where the stanchions were with the man. He took the chain, and he ripped a metal chain out of the stanchion. So he was furious. He grabbed it. He went like that. The chain, a metal chain popped off. And he walked right up to me and slaps me in the face.
No!
Oh, my God.
You. He came up. He took my hat. I had a Yankee hat on. He took my... And security guards started
set
like
tone, man.
Flanking.
Set tone.
He's flanking him. I don't know like exactly what they thought they were going to do or what he was going to do or what I was going to do. He took my Yankee hat off my face and full swung slapped me with it. And it dropped to the floor, and he goes, you got something to say? You want to say something in my fucking face now? Huh? You're a tough guy? And I wouldn't, the one thing I said to myself, don't look up, don't look him in the eyes, don't look him in the face. He had the veins coming out of his neck. I knew that if he swung, he would have knocked my head off my shoulders.
Listen, I don't know how to tell you, man, but you never put the car in park. It's rolling down the street. You're Civic.
So, 400 people, let's say, online, pin drop. Everyone is dead fucking silent, dead silent. And he's right, and he's breathing. And he's you could tell that like he's on the precipice of losing control and taking a swing without and not thinking it through. That's where he was at. And I'm like, if I even pull my hands up even like to hear and give any motion, I don't want to instigate him. So I keep my hands down at my sides like this. I won't look him in the face, and he's right in my face. He's like, say it again, say it right now to my face. So I turned into like Rain Man, right? I was looking down. I'm like, look, I'm just a big fan. I'm just a big fan of wrestling. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just trying to be part of the show. I'm just a really big fan. I kept on saying really big fan. I said like 15 times in 10 seconds. I'm like, really big fan. I'm just a really big fan. And he's like, and he wouldn't back off. So he's getting in my face again, and my friend Eddie, I see the security guards wearing yellow security guard jackets, and I see him physically pushing the security guard in between the two of us to like get the security to do something, and I see the security guard pushing back because the security guard doesn't want to get in the middle of it, and I see he's literally pushing his body, and the security guard's leaning back into him to not get pushed in the middle of us. And I go to pick up my hat, and I slowly pick, and he takes it, and he slaps me with it again. And then
is it
like,
a fitted one?
It was a fitted cap.
Okay, thank God, because it was a snapback. That could be fun. That could hurt.
Yeah. So he's like, I fucking thought so. He's like, fuck you, whatever. It was probably 20 seconds total. Felt like, you know, an hour.
Oh, my
God. He turns around and walks away, right? As he walked away, he's getting to the door. As soon as he walks away, he's getting to the door, and the fucking crowd erupts like gangbusters, like cheering
you
him.
Think they thought it was part of the show?
No.
Okay.
They're just cheering him on because I was an asshole fan. They put me in my place,
sure,
and they saw some real deal shit. So they fucking explode cheering him. Now, I feel even worse, right? Because now I did something that was like out of character for no reason. I felt bad about that. Then I thought he was going to kill me. I looked like an asshole. And now he made me look like a big asshole. I was a bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so they're all cheering. And now I'm really embarrassed. And I'm like, how do I fucking save face here? So I wait till he gets in the door. The cheering stops. And I smoked at the time. I lit a cigarette. My hand was involuntarily doing this.
I had two going.
Right? I lit it up. I take a drag. I step out of the line. And I go, anybody else got a problem? And the whole fucking place went nuts. And then they lined up, and I was signing programs.
Shut up.
Yeah, fuck Bubba. And I was signing
programs.
That is like
hilarious, dude.
Yeah, man.
Good for you. That's like the guy in jail who wins the respect back by being funny. You know what I mean?
Dude, I pulled that out of my ass. It was the only thing I could have said. And everyone was like, oh, that was so funny. They were on board with it. But so to this day though, so now he's in WWE and I get back into it. I got some tickets. I started going again. It turns out a lot of the wrestlers are on the road. My show's on all the time. There's a lot of wrestlers that are fans of ours. And it ends up being that I get introduced to him. He doesn't realize who I am. I tell him the story. He remembers it.
He does?
Yeah. And since then, actually, we become good friends. He comes out to my shows all the time. We're legit friends, and he's the sweetest.
Hilarious.
He's the sweetest guy.
You should like write him. You should like do some sketches with him. Like set it up where like he's just a fan heckling. You're like, oh really? And then he comes up on stage, and you fucking like, I don't know. Either way,
I mean, does he remember sliding over the hoods and all this shit coming after you?
No, he remembers that day and the fan fucking with him and him fucking.
He just die laughing when you retell it?
He doesn't really die laughing about it.
I bet he's like, well, I remember. In San Jose, I killed a guy.
I
was a drop in the bucket.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got lucky, buddy.
Yeah, but the guys set me up. The guys and I tour, and we do our own material together, and we've recorded two of our tours. So when we recorded our first hour, we were backstage waiting to go on. It's the first time we've ever recorded anything like this live on stage. And he came, and I didn't know, and they kept it a secret. And like we were sitting backstage, maybe 10 minutes before showtime, and they turned on their cameras. I wasn't paying attention. And he fucking kicked the door, and he walks. He goes, where the fuck is Sal? And he comes in, like, screaming. I hadn't seen him before. I only saw him once before that. And he came, and he grabbed me by my shirt. And I just started cracking up, you know. But they did that to me. They had him come in, charge him, and scare me. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, 6'5", 3". I mean, is he yoked, too?
He's a big dude. His arms are like fucking tree trunks.
Yeah,
man. He is so intimidating. And he was known for being a badass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why I fucking said
it. You know, it's those moments when you have something in your head that you're like, oh, yeah, don't say this, but your brain can't catch up to your mouth, and your mouth's like, why are you saying this? But you keep saying it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. You mm-hmm. you said we were talking earlier about you said you got high on stage for the first time the night that you introduced. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I don't twice in my life I've gotten high moments before I stepped on stage.
Me too, twice. Exactly.
And one time Roy Scovel, common denominator right there at the Virgil. Yep. Right before. I don't do that.
I did it twice, and it was the worst experience of my life. One time, I both times were accidents. One time, I ate ate apple pie. All right,
I'll give you that.
Set. It was on set of the shoot, and we had a post shoot meeting, and I was sitting around. And I saw an apple pie, so I ate a slice of apple pie, and then after I'm done, I'm on the last fucking bite. Q's like, "Where'd you get that?" I'm like, "It was over there, just apple pie." He's like, "Dude, fucking, one of our workers brought in a slice for everybody. It's edibles." And I was like,
"Oh my god!" Full slice, you ate?
Dude. It was 100 milligrams. I thought I was about to go to the fucking hospital. I go like this. Oh my fucking god! How much was it? She goes 100. I don't know weed. I found out that.
I don't know what that is.
So 15 is like enough. 15. I took 100. So I start fucking super panicking. I had a show. I had Comedy Juice that night at Gotham, and they promoted. I didn't want to miss it. This was like 1 o'clock. Juice was like, I had to be there like 10:45 p.m.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my god, what am I gonna do? I can't get through this high. I can't. So they put me in a car. They had someone drive me home. I went right to bed. I slept from like 2 to like 9 p.m. I slept through it. I woke up at 9, fucking so high still. 7 hours later, I had a friend drive me to Gotham. I get to Gotham. I said, I told him what happened. I'm like, I don't want to miss the show. I said, but if I fuck up bad, I'm so sorry. I'm so high right now. And I go, and they're like, okay. I go, can I lay down? And they're like, all right. So they put me in a booth, and they're like, can you just wake me up right before I have to go? So they go, okay. So I lay down. I'm trying to just lose it, you know? And then he taps me. He's like, you're up next. I'm like, all right, go. I woke up on stage, and I was just like, look, 11 hours ago.
11
I accidentally
hours
took a 100 milligram slice of apple pie weed. I was like, I'm so high, and I don't know what's going on. And they were in tears, and I didn't even have to do material. I was like just talking through
just it. Just talking through the anxiety.
And they loved it. Yeah, yeah. And that's so, but I hated the feeling.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Everyone's looking at you, judging you, you don't know what to say. You're like, why am I doing?
You don't know if it's right, crisis. It's wrong. If you're having, oh man.
Worse. But so weed, I don't really do a lot of like drugs. I've done marijuana. Recently, I went to, we were touring in Europe. I went to Amsterdam for a couple of days for vacation.
Oh, boy.
So I'm with a couple of friends, and we stumble upon the symphony, the Amsterdam Symphony, starring Rufus Wainwright.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. So I vaguely knew who that was.
But I didn't know. I wouldn't picture him in a symphony setting.
I didn't know much about him. I just knew that he was like some really good like singer that's probably like not on the radio, but like some really like prolific singer or something like that. I didn't know anything.
He used to play around L.A. years ago when I first moved here. I'd go watch him a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's great. Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm with my friend, and we're like, oh, shit. Like, why don't we? This is the sign. Let's just. We walk up. She says, it's sold out. If you wait until right before showtime, sometimes tickets open up. All right, we'll wait. So she calls back up. She goes, 2 opened up right in the orchestra, and we're like, holy, this is a fucking sign. So we get the 2. It's right in the fuck, right on the left aisle, right in the fucking front. And we say, all right, the show starts in 5 minutes. We're in Amsterdam. Why don't we quickly go buy like a joint? We'll smoke it. We'll watch this fucking Rufus Wainwright Symphony high. It'll be great. Your friend runs and gets it, comes back. We light it. I take 2 really big pulls. I hand it back to him, and immediately I sense something is different. I'm like, well, this is like within 1 minute.
I just feel like you're a magnet for this stuff, you know?
Dude, 1 minute.
Within 1 minute. We didn't walk in yet. I everything was going numb on me. And we walk in, and I'm actually, you know how like heroin addicts walk? Like that hobble, like that bent over hobble. I'm already doing that on the way in.
Shuffle.
And I looked at my friend. Shuffle. I'm like, something don't feel right. And she only took like 2 little hits. And I took these huge hits. And she's like, nah, it's okay. And then immediately everything was weird. Like they walk up to us and they gave us hot wine.
Hot wine.
Yeah, which I never had before. So that was like, I was like, what is this fucking hot wine? What's going on here? Like, I'm trying to be poisoned. I'm getting poisoned. They're going to poison me or some shit?
Like Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah.
It's like, the hot wine.
Hot wine. So we get in. We get to our chair. I sit. And I know that once I sit, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I can no longer move. I'm frozen. So the place is gorgeous. People are dressed up. People are in, some people are in tuxes. Like, it's like really gorgeous. It's unbelievable. And it's about to start. And I turn to my friend and I go, I'm telling you, something is wrong. I've never felt this way before in my life. I don't know this feeling. It's a foreign feeling. And she's going, oh, will you stop? You took two hits of marijuana. Who cares? You know? And I go,
I think it was the hot wine.
Then I turn to her and I go like this. Okay. I'm going to leave. And she's like, why? And I literally, dead serious. And can I tell you, I believe this with all of my heart. And it was the most frightening. It probably was the most frightening moment of my entire life. More than the gun, more than anything, because I didn't have control of my mind or anything. And I turned to her and I go, because everybody in here is trying to kill me. And she goes, wow. I go, everybody, look at me. I go, everybody in here right now is about to turn around at the exact same time and try to kill me. I said, I'm not sticking around for it. I said, and I'll tell you right. And right then, it started. The symphony started, right? Right then.
Which, symphony is dramatic, you know, it's dramatic music.
Yeah. Oh, there's fucking harps, violins, they're all up there, right? It's unbelievable. And it starts, and I literally lean in, and I go, look at me. I'm looking at the path to get out. Now, I know everything's numb, and I know I don't really have my balance. I know if I get up, I'm probably going to stumble, probably going to fall. And there's a lady in a wheelchair in the aisle, and it's taken up like most of the aisle. Like, if you had your faculties, you would have to like skirt by her, shimmy. Yeah. And I know I'm not getting by her. And I go, let me tell you something right now. I said, I'm going to get up right now and I'm actually going to scream. I'm going to scream on the way out because I wanted to be no nonsense. I wanted everyone to know, don't mess with me. I just wanted to just get
don't
up and be
kill
like,
me.
Ah, and just charge the door. Just maybe scare somebody. I just didn't want to get killed. And I was like, the lady in the fucking wheelchair, I'm not going to be able to get by her. I'm telling you right now because you're my friend.
I'm dumping her out
I said, it's going to be me or her and it's not going to be me. I'm frantic. I said, it's me
She's
or her.
She's lived her
it's
life.
And this fucking like violins playing. It's me or fucking her. It's not going to be me. I said, I'm going to try to avoid it, but if I have to take her out, I'm taking her out. And she's like, just calm down.
Kettle drums are going and shit now.
Yeah. She must have been like, think about what's going on in her mind. Like, Jesus Christ.
Look at me. She goes, look at me. Look at me in the face. She goes, you're okay. You're going to be okay. I'm like, no, I'm not. Right. So then I stayed put. And what started happening was I started hallucinating. Right. And I hallucinated that I rose out of my chair and I was hovering above the fucking symphony, looking down at everybody. And it was beautiful. Like, I was like an angel. And it started flip-flopping.
All right, hold on. I love his, I was like an angel.
Like, I was, though. Like, yeah, I was floating above everybody. And the music that was playing, it just felt like angelic. And like, I'm like, I start like getting tears in my eyes, how beautiful it was. And it kept flip-flopping from, this is the most beautiful thing I'm ever seeing because his voice, right? And then back to, everyone's going to kill me. So I was like fighting like these weird swing of emotions where it was the best night of my life and the worst night of my life. And my thoughts, I don't know if you've ever taken anything where you lose your thoughts. But my thoughts are coming way, way faster than I can interpret them. It was like a really weird feeling. Like I was drowning in my own thoughts. And then he's done with the first song. And I don't know if you know anything about Rufus Wainwright. I didn't. I thought he was like an old guy.
Uh-huh.
Like just some old opera singer. That's what I thought. This guy's like 35.
Yeah.
And he's got like long hair and everything. And he finishes the first song. What came out of his mouth was like a fucking opera. And then he goes, so, hey, Amsterdam, what's up? That's what he said. And I turned to him, I go, am I fucking hallucinating?
Is this real?
I said, is he a young gay man? Is he flamboyantly gay? And she goes, no, he is. I go, what the fuck is going on? I thought he was an old opera singer. And he was like, so, and he's like talking about, and I'm just freaking the fuck out. And then I'm getting dry mouth. The hot wine's gone. Long gone. I'm like, I can't. And now I'm starting to like almost not be able to swallow.
Throat's closing. Yeah, I know that feeling.
She says, I was sick. So she goes, you have lozenges in your bag. Get a lozenge. So I'm like, good idea. So
he's got a fanny pack.
I look down. I have my backpack. It's on the floor. I look down at my backpack. And for like 10 minutes, I'm like, how am I going to get to this backpack? I'm just staring down between my legs for 10 minutes. I'm like, I see the backpack. How do I get the backpack? And then I'm not kidding, like 10 minutes. Finally, I just like slowly reach down. I open the backpack. I get a cough drop out. It's individually wrapped. It was a Coldies, so it wasn't like the halls where you untwirl it. It was like you had to like rip it open.
The plastic. Yeah.
And I just was looking at it. I'm like, all right, the cough drops in this. How am I going to get it out of this?
Oh
right?
my god!
And then I finally just I rip it open, and I feel like the crackle from the wrapper literally is 10 times louder than the PA system.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm like, oh my god, I'm getting so nervous. So I just pop it in my mouth. Then I turn to her and I go, is everybody upset with me? And she's like, wow, everybody here is upset with me. And she's like, why? I'm like, the rapper.
All this noise.
And she's like, dude. And then it was like a 2.5 hour thing. Then we went out and we left. And I was so happy to leave. And then we went to dinner. I thought the fucking waiter was going to kill me. And I swear to Christ, the waiter, I'm like, he's coming over here way too fucking much. He's coming over way too much. What's he got to hide? What's he? And she's like, he's our waiter.
What's he mean by dessert? Yeah.
And she tells me, so I'm like, I'm insisting something's wrong the whole time she's telling me no. Then she goes, it wasn't weed though. It was like weed. It's hash. And I was like, the fucking hash. Hash is like not weed. Hash has that oil in it that makes you hallucinate. And I took, like, I don't know if you guys know about hash.
I've smoked hash, but I've never hallucinated.
Well,
from it.
This was fucking hallucinogenic, like, Amsterdam like fucking was symphony hash.
Dipped in PCP, it sounds
and
like.
And I will never, ever, ever, ever go near anything like that again. Yeah. It was the worst feeling
I'll
of
tell you
my
who
life.
Else wouldn't want to go near that is whoever's with you.
Yeah.
Because that must have been the. She must, because, like, she must have been on edge thinking, like, oh my God, any moment Sal's going to, like, freak.
I promise you, I really thought it was going to kill me, and I really was going to bowl this fucking lady in the wheelchair over and just get the fuck out of there. It was fucked up. I know everybody has like their drug story. That's really my only big drug story.
Yeah.
I don't do it a lot.
How long were you over there?
In Amsterdam?
Yeah.
3 or 4 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see all the hype. I didn't see all the, like, the prostitutes in the windows and all that shit.
But there's tons of, like, even there's just tons of art in
the
Amsterdam.
City
it's a
is
beautiful
unbelievable.
City.
It is unbelievable.
That's what people forget Gorgeous. Is there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
what you can
sick,
go.
They had sick art.
Yeah.
It's good art. Believe me, I'm big with art, and it was great art.
More bikes in Amsterdam than people, right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
I know some stats.
Well, you do.
Yeah.
It was dope, too. I was there during Christmas. They had the Festival of Lights.
Oh, man.
Festival of Lights, they call it. I'm a big Christmas guy. Big.
Yeah, I love Christmas. So, wait, you were there on Christmas?
I was there, like, right after, like, the first week of January.
Were you home for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you seem like a dude that's home for all the holidays.
Dude, I'm the guy that dresses up as Santa for my nieces and stuff.
Are you really?
Yeah, every year.
That's hilarious.
We shake them and wake them up, and I go near the front door. They come out grogging, and I close the door. The guys are like, oh, okay. I keep my distance.
And then you split?
Yeah. I recently found out, though, the second youngest doesn't believe anymore but didn't let on to it because she wanted to protect me.
How old is she?
She's 11.
Wanted to protect 11. You. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, I'm doing it for her.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, something switched, and I didn't even know she's doing it for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
I'm big with the Christmas.
Yeah, that's
Uncle
great.
Uncle Sal really likes it, so. I'll keep doing it.
That's it. Until my friend accidentally threw the fuck. I spent $300 on a deluxe Santa suit. It was like crushed velour. It was the dopest shit ever. It was like the highest end one. They sold like 6 versions. I bought the highest end one. I let my friend borrow it to do it to his nieces. He brought it back. He put it on the side of my house in a garbage bag, and my landlord threw it away.
Ah!
I never bought it again. That was the end of Santa died that year.
What the hell?
Two
what was
years
he thinking?
Ago. I don't know what he was thinking.
I'm going to leave it over here for you?
Yeah, put it in a bag, and then my landlord threw it was garbage. So, like, that was 2 years ago. So, like, last year, my youngest niece was like, he didn't stop in this year. I'm like, no, he was here. He just had to go right away.
Yeah, he just had to bounce quick.
I don't know what else you guys are. I could pick anything off this
list.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Is this too, like, self-aware? I'm like, let me pick a story off this list I brought.
One. Let me pick one for once over here. No, I don't like that. You know what's funny? I want to see this in fifth grade because one time... When I was in fifth grade, maybe it's like what you're going through in that time, but we in music class, we had to walk like an Egyptian was huge.
Right, yeah.
So we were doing this thing in music class where like everyone had to go around and do like the little Egyptian walk, and my teacher was like, all right, Jay, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. And she's like, nah, everyone's going to do it. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, it's my constitutional right to choose, and I choose not to do it.
Constitutional right.
She's like, all right. Called the principal down. Mr. Grant was like, get out there and do the Egyptian. I was like, all right. And I did it.
You're like, I'm not going to culturally appropriate the Egyptians.
I didn't know why. I was just like, no, fuck that. I got a choice, and this is my choice.
Yeah, we were just, it was dead silent in fifth grade. We were doing like an assignment. Everybody's just writing in their books, and I had an epiphany. And I raised my hand. Miss Demarest was a teacher. I raised my hand. She's like,
all
yeah.
these kids want to kill me. I'm not sticking around for it. That's my favorite line. I'm not sticking around.
I'm taking out the kid in the wheelchair.
For people that want to kill me, I'm not going to stick around. Yeah.
Why would I do that? No, I raised my hand. She goes, yes, Al. And I go, Miss Demarest, I go, were Adam and Eve the first two people? And she goes, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. And then everyone goes back to work. A few minutes later, I raise my hand. She's like, yeah. I'm like, I was like, if, were they white? And she's like, yeah, they were white. I'm like, oh. And a few minutes later, I raise my hand. She's like, yes, Sal. I mean, she's like, you can do your work. I'm like,
she's sweating too. Like, oh, God damn it.
She's like, yes. I'm like, Ms. Demarest, if Adam and Eve were white and they were the first two people, I was like, how do we have any other races?
How do we have Sean over here? Well,
I said that. I go, how do we have other races? How do we have black people? And then everybody just slowly looked up from their books and was like,
Sal's got a point.
Sal's got a point. You got a point. And she goes, well, guys, and she starts to get, like, you can see a little bit of, like, little stuttering a little bit because she doesn't know how to navigate it. And she goes, well, guys, you know, it's like the Bible, she goes, is made up of, like parables. Those are, like, stories to help you be a better person. But maybe, you know, you guys should know now that, you know, maybe not everything in the Bible is real.
Oh, my God.
And the fucking class freaked the fuck out. Everyone started screaming, what? What do you mean? It's not real? What are you talking about? People were raising their hand, like asking like certain stories. Like, what about Cain and Abel?
How about that bush? Did it burn?
Yeah.
Did it really talk?
And she's like, no, I don't know if that really happened. And people are like, what the fuck? And then this girl,
Tanya. Is this a Catholic school that you're in?
Yeah.
Oh, so she's really blowing minds.
Yeah, everyone's like, what the? And we're like, what about this story? What about Cain and Abel? What about prodigal son? And she's like, I'm not really sure if that's how it happened. And Tanya, a black girl in the class, gets up and she goes, what about Noah and the Ark? And she's like, well, I don't think that that's how we got
it. The teacher was like,
look at Tanya over here with the Ark.
She goes, I don't think that's how it happened. And then Tanya literally gets upset and irate. And she goes, well, then how do we have parakeets? I go, also, I meant it innocently, but I go, also, how do we have Tanya? And the teacher, she turned like flush red and everything. And I blew the doors off the Bible that day.
I mean, how did she even get out?
Parents complained.
I was about to say, so many kids had to go home
parents
and tell their parents.
But she's telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like that was when we weren't ready for that dose.
She was like, she probably was teaching like
still real.
She was teaching third grade 2 years before. She's like, no, this will be no problem. Yeah, not everything's real. Go about your work. Little did she know, fifth grade
Sal. We were more savvy than that. Like, I remember this because everyone had a crush on her. And when she taught us, we were in fifth grade, she was 23.
Yeah,
because she told, and she a couple times
take
she
it
came
easy,
in.
Sickler.
That's when your hormones just start raging.
We're in fifth, right? And she had come in one day with a hickey, and she tried to cover it up. She had like a little scarf on, but you could see it, and we kind of knew what it was. And the ball busters in the class, and even in fifth grade, they're my friend Mike raises his hand. Mike Dudley is like, oh, Miss Demarest, you have a rash on your neck. Like, just, we knew what it was.
Yeah.
We were all like snickering. And she's like, oh, she was pale. She was a redhead. She was really pale. And she turned beet fucking red. She's like, oh, thank you. Okay. So fucking, she was all hicked up.
Hicked up.
It's so funny because, like, you just feel like all those boroughs outside of New York City are like these stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just picture these kids growing up, especially like with the guys on the show and stuff like that. And this story about getting the fake IDs.
Oh,
well, I mean, was everyone getting fake IDs back? Because I never had a fake ID until I was in college, and I only used it like twice.
Yeah,
we didn't need it, but like
we had heard that you can get fake IDs. Everybody was doing it.
What was your place? Ours was McCrory's downtown. If you went there, but it was a walking permit.
You know
what I mean?
You had a specific physical brick and mortar location.
Also had, if you kind of resembled this one that was floating around, you could take it.
Oh, yeah. You but know, everybody needed that one.
Yeah, but we had a place you would go, but they wouldn't give you a driver's license ID. They'd give you just an ID for people. Like, my grandmother didn't drive. She didn't have a driver's license, but she had it looks like a license, but it's just an ID.
Right.
It's a walker's
permit,
basically.
But they would do it for you and put the wrong address and everything?
Yeah, everything.
And
take
that was
your picture
official?
And all that shit. It was officially illegal.
All we heard was like, oh, go to Times Square area, and they're on the corner. Like, the guys are like, fake IDs, and just find them.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, so one day we're like, this is the day. So it was like five of us. six of us, and we take the ferry, we take the train, and we start, you know, just walking around Times Square.
Like, how familiar with New York were you guys at that age?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
You know, I'm maybe like 17, still intimidating. I didn't like hang out there in bars. I didn't like work there yet. So it was like I would go there once in a while to specific places, yeah. but I didn't roam much.
Yeah.
You know, so the four of us kind of up to no good. I kind of felt it a little bit, but we're strolling around Times Square, which wasn't like it's cleaned up now. It was a little bit different. Like,
yeah,
I guess that was 20. Holy shit, that was 23 years ago. So, yeah, and so there's shady people, and we're waiting. We're like, all right, we'll just wait till we. And sure enough, you hear guys that be like, fake ID. So we're like, we go up to one, like, this is it, guys, this is it. So we're like, oh. Fake ID, you know.
Yes, one please.
Yes. my friends and I will have one fake ID each, please. And then he's like, "Oh boy!" And this guy's a fast talker, right? And he's like, "Yeah, fake ID, great, guys, come on with me, guys. We'll go up to the shop." We're like, "All right." So we start following this guy, and it's like five, six of us, you know. And we're following this guy. He's talking fast. He's like, "Yeah, this is what we're going to do real easy. I'm going to take you to the shop. We're going to wait downstairs. We'll bring one by one. That's where you get your photo taken. It takes a few minutes to process. We'll take your money. You know, he tells us like whatever it is, like $30 or whatever each. We're like, "All right, yeah, cool." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, and he's making. Is he making calls? No, he wasn't making calls. Oh, he had a beeper. I know he kept telling me, I got to just get in touch with the guy's dad. Just got to get in touch with it. So we walk to one place. We walk in. It's a Chinese restaurant. We're like, all right. He's like, just sit here for a second. And then he's like, oh, you know what? We got to go to the other place. And nothing, like he's talking so fast and we're so excited to get the fake IDs that nothing's ringing to us like something's wrong.
Yeah.
Follow me again. You know what it is? I got to go. So anyway, we end up going in another. He's just going from Chinese food place to Chinese food place. So then he sits us down and he goes, all right. He sits us across from him and he goes, all right, everybody money up front. So we're like, all right. And he goes, all right. He goes, I got to just check this, make sure it's not counterfeit. None of this is suspicious.
Counterfeit cash?
So he pulls out a pencil. So he's like, all right, everybody put your money up. So we put up our money. I have like $30 and he takes a pencil eraser and he starts erasing the bill, like being like, he's like, all right, this one's good. This one's good. It's with a pencil eraser, right? So like, all right, he goes, here's what we're going to do. The guy's upstairs, the photography studio's upstairs. You go up, you're going to get your shot, make sure you like it. Then we're going to process it. I'll bring him back down to you, and we'll bring one guy up. We'll bring one guy down. I'm like, all right, yeah, great. This is great. We're all like, we're going to get IDs. And he's like, yeah. So then he goes, all right, here's what I got to do. I'm going to go upstairs and talk to him. He's like, I'm going to come back down. So he collects all the fucking money, and he's like, I'm just like yesing him to death because he's intimidating. We don't know. He's like, all right, I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to be right back down. Good? And I'm like, yeah, good, you know. And he goes to walk out, and as soon as he gets to the door and he swings the door open, plainclothes cops rush in, shove him back in. They have their guns out. They have their badges. They didn't have their badges out because that's what they have their guns out. And they go, police, everybody freeze in the Chinese food restaurant. Like there's like 30 regular patrons. Yeah. Everybody's like, they throw him up against the wall. He's like, I didn't do nothing. He's in a leather jacket. They start patting him down. They're like, everybody don't move. And there's it's a fucking sting, right? So. We have five of us.
Ducks are swinging in the window.
three of my friends are over there. Me and my buddy Mike are right by the door. The cops came in. They went forward past us. So there's no one in between us and the door. So we look at each other. Should we fucking leave? So we're like, yeah. So we just get up and casually walk out. Well, they told everyone to freeze.
Yeah.
So we casually walk out. We look at each other. We run across the street, down the block, and into like a vestibule of like a CVS. And we're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Because we're like, are we going to jail? Like, did we do something bad?
Right.
Did he and us? Are we all going to jail? Like, what did we do? What are the implications here? Our parents are going to fucking kill us. Are our friends okay? Like, what's going on? Like, how big does this go?
Yeah, I'm sure our friends okay was on your mind.
Well,
we fucking chugged out.
No, we really were. Like, we were like, what the fuck's going on? And so we're sitting there and we're watching the door of the Chinese food place from across the street in a vestibule and no one's coming out. And it's 5-10 minutes and no one's coming out. And we're like, what is going on?
The 80s movie version of this is your friends run out too and then you see him get shot in the back. You're like,
we're thinking the worst. And then all of a sudden it comes over me and I go, wait a minute. Now I'm savvy. The whole time he's trying to erase my fucking Andrew Jackson. I don't think anything of it. Now I go, wait a minute, botch. This was a full-on scam. Those weren't cops. They wanted to scare us, so we ran out and they kept our money. Those guys are in on it with him. They come in, they yell freeze. We get scared. We run out, right? And now they're all just probably in there or they're going to leave. They went out the back door. It was never a sting. Did you see? Because I said, did you see? They didn't show badges.
But they had guns.
You said they pulled guns, right?
I thought they did. Yeah, I fucking thought they did have a gun out.
But what?
I really did. Oh, no, maybe I saw.
Reach.
I saw a gun. Yeah, they had a gun here, but not badge out.
Gotcha.
Because I know we saw a gun because we were like, what the fuck was that? So now we start getting like mad and we're like, we got to go back over there. We don't know what's going on. Like, oh, they didn't come out either. So what if they took our friends in the back? What if they're beating them up? Like, we didn't know anything. So. We're like, let's just go back, and we go across the street. We walk slow. We get back to the Chinese food place. We walk in.
Orange chicken, please.
It's business as usual in there.
What?
Our friends are not there. The cops are not there. The guy is not there. No remnants of chaos. People are eating their chicken. We're like, our minds are blown. Well, now we're like, what the fuck? Where are our friends? So we're like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. It was before cell phones. So we walk out of the Chinese food restaurant. We're just walking down the street. We don't know where to go, who to talk to. And we're walking, and about a couple of minutes later, a taxi cab pulls over, rolls down the window. He goes, get in the car. So we're like, what? He goes, I'm a cop. Get in the car. We have your friends. So we look at each other like, all right, we get in the car. They take us to the precinct. It was an undercover cop. And he goes, yeah, you were in the middle of a fucking sting operation. And we're like, how did you know to pinpoint that moment? He goes, you fucking 5 17-year-old white kids following this guy through Times Square, through different restaurants.
Like little ducklings.
He's like, we picked it up immediately, you know. So we get to the police station, and you know, he's like, listen, and he's like, you got to tell me what happened, everything, because there's like all these little like intricacies. Like if he took the money out of our hand without us asking, that's an extra charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's a difference between grand larceny and robbery and all. So we're just nervous to rat on the guy. And he's like, they're like, look, if you don't tell us everything, we're not gonna be able to put him away.
Did he order you? Did he order you tea?
He did order us tea.
The cop's like, did he order you tea?
Did he order you tea?
That's an extra 5 years.
Did he say please and thanks? No, and so we were just like, yeah, and we said everything, and they're like, all right, we're gonna take your money. They're like, we gotta put it into evidence, and we'll call you in like 30 to 60 days. You could probably come get it after it's all done. We never went back.
Yeah,
went home, had to tell our parents. And my buddy Mike, who was like my best friend, his dad flipped out and told him he forbid him to hang out with me anymore.
Really?
Shut yeah, up. And we worked together at a deli. And so Mike came in after that, like he was like pissed at me, like I was like the ringleader. And he would come in and he was like, I remember my buddy Mike's like, talk to my dad. He doesn't know where you get off. He like turned on me. He's like, he says we can't talk anymore, so it's going to be a while. And I'm like, all right. And then like we had to work together at the deli and like not talk to each other
that
for a while.
Fucking hilarious.
He's like my best friend to this day, though.
But I mean, like I wrote down earlier, wrong place, wrong time. If you had not a biography, that's what I feel like it would be.
Yeah, that's
you're always in the wrong place. Like this one.
Well, these sound like it. Sure, these.
This baseball card.
Oh, that's another thing. I pissed my pants. Yeah, my dad scared the shit out of me.
Because we both collected. Rye borrowed my truck one time because he was moving, and I got it back. And like over the course of the next 2 weeks, everywhere I looked, I'd find a Baltimore Orioles card because this kid's an Orioles fan. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I took old Orioles, a stack of them, and I hid them under his floor mats. Like everywhere. All through that. There, I guarantee you there's still a couple in that fucking
You ever go to like your card shows?
I did. No, I mean, I collected them in the neighborhood as a kid, and we would trade. And
yeah,
you know, and then I still have the locker. Remember, it looked like a little locker you open up and had the slots for each team. And I still have my cards.
I was
there.
So
worth
way,
a shit
way into
now,
it.
Though,
I would I would hand categorize my collection, and I would buy the books to see what they're worth. That was what I was fascinated about.
Yep.
The Beckett's. That was so cool because then the next month it would go up 20 cents. I had like I was like fucking Bugsy. I had like an accountant. I would be like, all right, this Madden card went from 240 to 260. I'm up 20 cents. Like I was doing my net worth in baseball cards.
Yeah.
But they used to have these card shows where like a bunch of different card dealers would, they just, it would be at like a, you know, like
the
a
mall or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would, we had those.
Yeah. They have tables and stuff. And I go with my buddy Jay and he gets, you know, you pay an admission. It's like $2 and you get to go and everybody's selling all different things. And he gets into his head that we're going to take cards. Like it was very lax. Like, you know, people walk away from their table and walk back and stuff. So like they're just leaving all the cards out. And I was in grammar school. I was young. I was like probably in like maybe fifth, sixth grade. And I was wearing a fanny pack at the time. It was very in vogue.
Yes, I'm sure. It just came out.
It was hot. It was a hot ticket item. So I was wearing a fanny pack. And my buddy, he like without even like referring to me, he went and he took a card and he's like, here. And he's like, we'll keep him in your fanny pack. So it's important to note.
You remember what he was giving you?
I remember three of the cards. Daryl Strawberry, Tops.
Great card.
Rookie card.
Yeah.
Kirby Puckett. Rookie card. Tops. Then there was also a Clemens.
The update set card?
What's that?
That's like his original rookies, the update. You remember they used
this
to come out with 85 the set?
85 tops.
85. Well, they had, the, you know, and then the update would come with like guys that came up, and like Clemens update, 85 update, I think is his real rookie. Like,
okay.
That's his real rookie card.
I think it was his real. No, I might have got an 80. No, it wasn't the 86 Clemens. I remember the 86 Clemens. That's how much I can
the
picture
pick,
the baseball
too.
Card.
Yep. The wood, the block.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That was 87. Yeah. The wood.
Sometimes the color be off and the guy look a little blue. You're like, what the fuck's the matter with this guy?
Yeah, so sad that Kirby Puckett. Oh, it's Kirby Puckett, Dwight Gooden, Dow Strawberry, a Mattingly, and it was five cards. And then I think the Clemens. And he put them, we stored it all in mine. And we were taking them from different, was taking them from different tables. And he's putting it in my fanny pack. And, you know, they're in there. I'm zipped back up. We're walking around. Nobody's saying shit. So we're like, all right, I guess, you know, whatever. So my dad was dropped us off and was picking us up. So we're like, all right, it was time for my dad to come get us. So we start to walk down the front entrance.
Go, Dad, go, go!
Right when we get to the front entrance, two guys step right in front of us. And then you're going to need to wait right there. And we're like, what's the matter? He goes, just wait right there. And at that moment, my dad was walking in. And he saw the two guys telling us, you have to wait right here. And he goes, what's the matter? And he goes, we caught these guys stealing baseball cards. And my dad turns to me.
Oh, man.
He gets like, it was like Bubba Ray Dudley. Like, he got, like, the vein. He turns to me and goes, is this true? And I go, I didn't say no. And he my dad, who's never cursed in front of me, never laid a hand on me in my life, he picks me up by my shirt up. He was so mad. He picks me up by my shirt off the ground. I mean, I was, you know.
Yeah,
I was
80 pounds.
I was a twig. And he's like, is this how I raised you? And I got so scared, I pissed my fucking pants. Literally let go completely right there on the baseball. Oh, literally pissed my pants.
Ruined the cards. Had to pay.
I don't know if he saw, like, in that moment. I don't think.
Oh, my God.
And I pissed myself. And I was just like, oh, my God. And he put me back down. And we get in the car and we go home. And we lived in these garden apartments. So my friend lived right in the building next to me.
Yeah.
So all the kids, they were all congregated. We all hung outside together on the same block. So my dad brought me upstairs. He screamed. You know that cry you get when you're a kid where you can't breathe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
can't catch your breath.
He's screaming at me. And we had a sectional couch. And when it catty cornered on the corner, like rounded, there was a space like where we used to, like a good hide and go seek spot, and
where the room squared and the couch.
Yeah. And he's screaming at me and everything, and I'm like, he's just not letting up, and I'm so like scared, and so I'm crying. I go behind there and I go in under the thing, and I'm just crying behind the couch. He's like, I'm going out. I'll be back later. And he's like, I don't want to, you know, you're not going out. You punch him. He leaves. I'm so fucking traumatized by this. I'm there crying. I don't stop. I'm just there. Hours pass. It's nightfall. He comes.
Nightfall.
None of that. I didn't get up and I didn't bother to turn on the lights in the house, in the apartment. So when he comes home, he opens the door. It's pitch black in the house. He turns on the light and he's like, hello, Sal? And he comes and I'm in the spot he left me. And he just was like, oh, I'm so sorry. He like felt so
bad. I'll bet he felt bad.
It was
bad
hours later and I was just cowering behind him.
Traumatized.
And he was like, oh, look, he's like, I overreacted. I'm sorry. I just don't want you to steal, blah, blah, blah. But the whole.
But you need an Eddie Murray, man. What are you doing? Yeah, come on.
If you're going to take anything at all, I mean, a Quisenberry.
The quiz.
But the whole time, right, my friend who, and it was the summer, so like the windows of the apartment were open. He went home, told his parents. His dad laughed it off. He was out the entire time. The entire time I was like literally hyperventilating behind the couch. The windows were open. I heard him outside for hours playing.
Yeah.
They thought nothing of it, his parents.
Fucking but put those dad cards in his bike spokes and ripped them all up and everything.
This came back to bite my dad in the ass, though. Okay? We're in Sears and Roebuck. You might know it.
Yeah.
They shortened it to Sears. So we're in Sears and it's packed. And my dad tells me I can get a wrestling figure. And you remember those rubber ones that were like that high?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesse the Body, right? So my dad says, I'll get it for you. No
the
problem.
Governor?
The governor. And we're walking around Sears. My dad's getting whatever he needs. And it's time to leave. He doesn't find what he needs, but I'm holding the wrestle this whole time. So we go to wait on the line. The line's pretty big. The line was, it was like a shit show in Sears. It's like 20 people on the line. It's one old lady behind the fucking thing. So waiting on the line, my dad's getting impatient, everything. And he's like, can we get it next time? I'm like, no, what do you, it was like my world. I'm like, no, you told me you could get it. What are you doing? He's like, no, all right, we'll get it. And I see him. I remember looking at him. He's getting frustrated. He's like, you know what? I got to get something else. Let's walk around. So we go to walk around, and he's like, he's holding Jesse the body, and like he pops it out of the fucking plastic. My dad.
Yeah. He doesn't want to wait in line.
He doesn't want to wait in line. He has to go, right? So he pops out and he's like, all right, you know, we're just talking. He's nonchalant. He's making believe like I'm not seeing what he's doing. And he goes, all right. He goes, you know what? Let's, we'll go out this way. And we go to, I go, dad, we can't walk out with that. He goes, no, it's all right. Trust me. I'll come back. I'll pay for it. I promise. I'll come back. I'll pay for it. I'm like, all right. We walk out the door, walk into the car, and I stop. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't do it. He's like, what? I'm like, I can't steal that. I was like, we're not supposed to steal. Like, you yelled at me for stealing. Now you're going to, we can't steal this thing. And I just threw it right back on him. And he was like, you're right. So he's back, goes back in, gets the cardboard and the plastic,
puts it back.
We go online for like 20 minutes and I made him pay for it. So, you know, if he didn't yell at me about the baseball cards, he would have got off.
Hell yeah.
He sure would.
But it was a little taste of his own medicine.
Yeah, like I gave it to him.
Yeah. I'm happy to report I've only stolen a few things since then. No,
I'm kidding. Happy to report.
People have theft problems. A lot of my friends, like, this all comes out. Like, I don't steal on it. But I've had friends who, like growing up, like, they stole.
That was their thing. Everyone needs
like
something.
They got something out of it. They like stealing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I never had that.
Well, clearly you did.
Outside of the baseball.
Clearly you did. You
outside of the whole story I just told you, where I stole $200 of rookie cards. Yeah,
awesome, man.
Well, I don't know where we're at, guys. I'm assuming
we're there, man. This has been a lot of fucking fun. Thank you so much for coming on.
Great,
and
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're great.
So much
man.
Fun.
Will you one more time plug your social media, your show, whatever you'd like, please?
Yeah, at Sal Volcano on Instagram and Twitter. We're on tour. You can go to thetenderloins.com. We tour all year long. And I guess we'll be at the Greek on September 24th in L.A. And then you got the cruise.
Yeah, get on that cruise. Yeah.
And watch the show. Definitely watch the show.
Yeah, Thursdays at 10.
Thursdays at 10. True TV.
Awesome, man. Sal, thanks for coming on, man. It's
great
to have
you. Thank you guys so much for having me.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy across all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.